Welcome you all to one of the fastest growing parapolitical podcasts out there in podcast land. Yes, you are now listening to the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez, always bringing you up-to-date news in the world of the paranormal, the supernatural, the politics, conspiracies, whatever you want to talk about, I will talk about on the show. And this week's show is no exception. This week's show, we are going to discuss none other than the Chicago Batman, or you may call him the Chicago Mothman, because he seems to be making an appearance again, not only in Chicago, but in and around Illinois, in Indiana area. I have a couple of older reports that I haven't gone over yet, and I have a couple of newer reports, and I'm talking within the last month or two, that you really need to hear. So sit back, relax, open that mind, because the Chicago Batman flies again. But before we get into that, as I do most shows, I begin the show with a listener comment. And this week is another conglomeration, another bundle of listener comments, because I have been getting inundated with emails from my listeners telling me, flat out telling me, Tom, do not stop talking about the impeachment. Every single one of them uses the same line. This is history in the making. This is a perfect opportunity to let your voice be heard. And I'm going to tell you what I said before. I'm done. The impeachment talk on this show is over. Why? Because it's a diversion. It is a diversion of other things. More important things. Like, for instance, the fact that in France, the Yellow Vest movement is continuing to protest the Macron government. And they are making headway. In Hong Kong, thousands and tens of thousands of people are protesting against their government, singing the United States national anthem, thanking the United States for the freedom that they are fighting for, while we over here are trying to get rid of our freedoms, which makes no sense to me, but that's another story. But you're not hearing about that on the news. Why? Because our government doesn't want us to know that. Our government doesn't want us to know that if we are able to rise up against our government, we can make things happen. We can change the world. But no, here in America, while the rest of the world is rising up against their government, we here in America, we're worried about quid pro quo, impeachment. We're analyzing what the other person says with a fine-tooth comb. We're offended by everything. We're supposed to be the bastion of freedom in the world. We're supposed to be the greatest nation on the planet. We don't act like it. We're not even close to acting like it. We need to rise up. We need to take the lead from France, from Brazil, from Venezuela, from Hong Kong. And we need to rise up against our government. Be it Republican, Democrat, whatever side of the fence you fall on, we all have the same desire. And that's to be free. To do whatever we want. But there's some people out there that don't think that they have a voice. As a single person, no, you don't have a voice. Look at Hong Kong. Look at the streets of Hong Kong. There are tens of thousands of people constantly in the streets protesting. And lo and behold, the pro-democracy candidates are starting to win in their elections. They have a voice. They've made their voice known. That is why I'm done talking impeachment. I've made my point known. Everybody that has listened to the show knows my thoughts on the impeachment. I'm not going to say them again. We know what's going to happen. The House is going to impeach Donald Trump. The Senate is not going to impeach Donald Trump. And that's done. It's over. What a waste of money. And what a waste of time. Everybody in this country knows what's going to happen. But yet we're all fixated by it because all we do is watch TV and listen to the news, and that's all they want to talk about. So that's all we talk about. Let's change that. So that's why on this show, we're going to start the show talking about Batman in Chicago. He's in the air again, and he's being seen. And then to end the show, you really have to stick around for this portion of the show. At the end, I'm going to talk about a new, I don't even know what you'd call it. It's not a law, but it's a new thing, I guess, in Seattle that starts in 2020 that is going to severely dictate what you're eating. And it's kind of, to me, it kind of is wrong. But some people think it's okay. That's how it was supposed to be. But you'll have to decide. So stick around to the end of the show and listen to what I'm going to be talking about, because a lot of people will think, oh, that's not true. It didn't come from The Onion. It came from multiple news sources. This is a true thing, and it is kind of eerie, and it kind of shows us where we are as a society right now. So sit back, relax, open that mind. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back, and we're going to hear about four, maybe five encounters of the Batman in Chicago. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
I'm sitting by the wayside, waiting on a good time. When I see you from across the room, sipping whiskey from a wine glass, pouring from your own flask. When you look up and you see me too, I'm not one for chasing, that might be changing. I was sitting by the wayside, waiting on a good time when I met you. It feels like gravity.
Save the date, because the world of the paranormal comes to life in Flint, Michigan for the 4th annual Mid-Michigan Paranormal Convention. This convention features an entire day packed with spectacular speakers, presenters, demonstrators, authors, artists, paranormal celebrities, experts, and so much more. This is all based out of the need of the Flint, Michigan local paranormal community. If you are into the paranormal, if you are into ghosts, Bigfoot, haunted objects, aliens, demonologists, Ouija boards, spirituality, psychic readings, tarot, mediums, Michigan lore, private seances, oddities, gallery readings, all-day speakers and presentations, prizes, giveaways, and more, then come to the 4th Annual Mid-Michigan Paranormal Convention, Sunday, November 8th, 2020, from 9 to 6 at the Grand Ballroom at the Holiday Inn Gateway Center, the 4th Annual Mid-Michigan Paranormal Convention. Sunday, November 8th, 2020, from 9 to 6 at the Grand Ballroom at the Holiday Inn Gateway Center in Flint, Michigan. Hey everybody, this is Tom Velasquez, host of The Paranormal Patriot. Now, I've mentioned many times before how much this show is growing, and I think it's time for me to expand the format of this show. With that being said, I am extending an offer to any one of my listeners. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Would you like your thoughts and your beliefs to be heard by the thousands and thousands of Paranormal Patriot listeners? Then contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net, and we will set up a time to do an interview to be broadcast on a future episode of The Paranormal Patriot. And for those of you who may be a little shy and don't want to do an interview, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net with all of your paranormal, supernatural encounters, Or maybe you have a conspiracy theory that you want everyone to know about. All you have to do is contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net.
Every day, we told each other to be friends forever. Mistakes and troubles didn't bring us down. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Friends and lovers just fooling around. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We got the passion, we got the love.
Alrighty, so if you've been a listener of the show for a while, you know back maybe a year and a half ago, I had a little bit of an infatuation with a thing called the Chicago Mothman, or the Chicago Batman, however you want to call him. But it seemed to die down, and so did my interest, until just recently. Being on this show, being that it is half to three quarters paranormal now, it has afforded me the opportunity to network among paranormal enthusiasts. And one of the network connections I have is an investigator in the Chicago, Illinois, Indiana area. And this week, he sent me two sightings that he recently investigated about the Chicago Batman. So I wanted to give those to you. But prior to that, I have two other sightings here that are coming to us from 2018. One is about a year ago. It was around Christmas time. They don't know the exact date, and the reason for that, and I've actually talked to this person, and this person truthfully and vehemently wants to remain anonymous. But they never thought anything of it other than they really didn't believe what they saw when they saw it. It wasn't until 9 months later that they realized we weren't the only ones to see this. This is a report that I received from them. And the only reason that they sent this report is they have a friend that listens to the show in Illinois. And they, that friend of theirs, convinced them to send me this. So it starts off, "Hi Tom, I'm not sure how to start this email. We live in Illinois, and we were driving home from a Christmas party late one night. Unfortunately, I don't know the exact date, but I know it to be between December 14th and December 21st of 2018. We were on Highway 270 between Illinois Route 157 and Illinois Route 159 in Glen Carbon, Illinois, traveling east. Again, like I said, it was late at night, it was very dark, and at that moment, we were really the only one on the road. As we were driving, my husband and I were not talking, I was almost falling asleep. When I heard my husband gasp, I've never heard my husband gasp, but he audibly gasped at that time, and it woke me up because I thought we were about ready to get into an accident. As I opened my eyes and looked out the windshield, I saw a human-sized thing flying west as it swooped down on us like it was going to crash into our windshield, and then it flew or glided over the top of our car. It all happened very quickly, but I can tell you it was all black, with huge wings, or maybe it was even a cape. This thing seemed to have a face similar to a human, and it did seem to look at us as it was swooping over our car. It happened so quickly. Neither of us could believe our eyes, and we didn't see where it went from there. We slowed down and looked in our rearview mirrors, but we never saw it again. We continued our drive home in almost silence. I asked my husband multiple times, what was that? But he wouldn't answer me, and I thought that very strange. We got home, and he fell right to sleep. I, on the other hand, I couldn't sleep at all that night. I woke up the next morning and I said, what did we see last night? And he said, we didn't see anything. I found that very odd. He never talked about it. He never wanted to discuss what I know we saw. The months went by, and I couldn't forget what I saw. He never talked about it. He never wanted to discuss it, and I felt like I needed to discuss it. I mentioned it to a couple of my friends, and they just laughed at me. That's why it took so long to come to you. It was approximately 9 months later when I just stumbled across an internet site that had numerous other sightings of exactly what my husband and I saw. I quickly printed off all the sightings I could and waited for my husband to get home from work. I made a nice dinner that night. We sat down after dinner and I poured us both a glass of wine. And I looked him straight in the eye and I said, honey, we have to talk about what we saw that night. He looked down and started to get up. And I told him no. And I pulled out all the paperwork of all the sightings that I had just found that day. I handed him the paperwork and he just looked at the top page. He turned his head and looked me in the eyes, and he had tears in his eyes. His words to me, Tom, were, that's not the first time I've seen it. I saw it one other time. I have no idea what it is, but it's real, and I'm terrified of it. That is why he didn't want to talk about it, because he was terrified. I don't know what we saw that night, Tom. I don't know if we'll ever know. But it is reassuring to know that we are not the only people to see what we saw. If you have any ideas what it could be, your opinion would be greatly appreciated. By the way, Tom, there is some good that came out of this. Because ever since my husband confessed to me that this isn't the first time he saw this creature, it's like a weight had been lifted off of his shoulders. He's a different man. He's more like the man I married. I don't know if we'll ever really get over what we saw, but life has to go on, and we will continue to live our life. But in the back of both of our minds, we know that there's something out there that we don't understand and we don't even know what it is. Thank you for taking the time to read this email. You can post it on your show if you'd like, because I believe the more people that hear about this, more people may be in the same situation I was and know that they're not alone. Yours truly, Mrs. M, Illinois. Mrs. M, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I know you don't listen to the show, and maybe you will after this, but in the archives, if you go back, go to podbean.com, you will find I did, and it was back when I had the Cosmic Dreamer on the show with me. You will find I did many episodes of The Batman of Chicago. And listen to those and maybe find some more closure. And it's almost therapeutic. I guess it is therapeutic to know that you are not the only one that is seeing something. A couple of incidences, I would say misidentification. You know, some of these are, you know, they're bogus claims. They're just people trying to get their 15 minutes of fame. But there are legitimate, honest people out there who are seeing things that they don't know what they are and they can't understand. And Mrs. M, I believe that you are one of them. Your email came across as very sincere and very trustworthy. I believe you saw something you cannot explain. Let it be known that you are not the only one. What is it? I don't know. I've mentioned before, I personally believe that there's a dimension that we don't know about that is parallel to ours, that has creatures that we do not understand, and somehow, some way, these creatures can cross over into this dimension and be seen with our eyes. I don't know if that's the truth. It's speculation on my part, but honestly, it's as good as any other theory. So, Mrs. M, thank you for the letter. Thank you for the email. I know it took a lot of courage to send that to me, and I'm honored that you would send that to me, and thank your friend for suggesting you send it to this show. I have forwarded your sighting to the investigator I spoke of briefly that I will talk about upcoming here shortly. I have informed him to not contact you unless you contact me and say that it's okay. I forwarded that sighting to him to add to the archives to build a database of where, when, and how people are experiencing this creature. So thank you for the email. Let me know how everything goes. So that is the first encounter from about a year ago from a Mrs. M in Illinois. I also have one that happened in 2018 from late summer that I found. Now, this is not from a listener. I want to preface that. This I found during my research. But it comes from a person by the name of R. It starts off, I had an experience late summer of 2018 in Schaumburg, Illinois. I never reported it and probably would not be typing this if I hadn't found another report by chance. I was looking for the Illinois MUFON site, and a report about the Mothman showed up in my Google search. So here's my story. I was walking my dog around 9 or 10 p.m. and reached a small blacktop area between my neighborhood, which is Sarah's Grove, and the Schaumburg District Library. There used to be this massive tree there, but it has since collapsed during a hailstorm that we had in the area last year. It was a windy night, and the cicadas were very loud. As we approached the tree that has a street light right under it, I got an uneasy feeling for no reason at all. I just felt weirded out for some odd reason. I let my dog do his business, and I hear what seems to be half of the cicadas stop making noise. The only thing I heard at the time was the winds hitting the leaves in the tree. I looked up in the tree and I really can't see anything due to the streetlight being so bright. It was like a flashlight in my eyes, and the tree was in complete darkness. I kept looking up to try and find out what stopped the cicadas from singing, and then I heard something shift in the trees. I turned away from the tree and began to get out of there, and my dog began to walk in the same direction at a faster pace. As we got even with the children's playground at the corner, I felt something swoop over our heads. I didn't see anything, but my dog, who loves this stop sign to stop and pee on every time we walk past it, seemed to crouch and run at the same time to pass it. I could hear his nails on the sidewalk as if he had peeled out. He then got close to me and stayed close. We rushed back home, feeling like something was still watching us. I never saw a thing, but felt the mass of something large fly over us that made a flapping noise as it moved. I've heard geese fly directly over my head, but this thing, whatever it was massive by comparison. All the street noise seemed to be blocked as it moved over us. I haven't seen or heard anything like it since. So, this story here, this is my opinion after reading this story. I believe this gentleman had a very, very personal encounter. I believe he has all the landmarks. He has everything. I mean, the detail in the story is impeccable. But there's nothing seen. Now, I don't know if any of my listeners have ever been camping. But there is a creature out in the woods that when it swoops down on you, it's almost silent until it gets right on you. And that is an owl. If you've never been witness to an owl flying over you or swooping over you, I truly believe that it would feel just like this. You don't see it, you don't hear it until it's right on you. You actually feel it. Because the way an owl's feathers are designed, they're designed to break up the noise. So as it's flying and gliding, it's dead silent. A major part of me feels that this gentleman and his dog encountered an owl in a tree, and as they turned around, that owl swooped down. They never saw it. They really never heard it as it was swooping down, but they felt it. To me, I think this man, he might have come across an owl. Let me know what you think. Let me know, have you ever witnessed or experienced an owl in flight? First off, owls are absolutely beautiful, majestic birds. And they are big. They have a wingspan that rivals most birds in North America. Now, with that being said, that may account for numerous Mothman sightings. You never know. I mean, there's a frenzy of Mothman sightings that are starting to take shape out there. They're starting to get some news on them. So everybody's looking up in the sky. Are they seeing owls? I'm sure some of them are. Owls usually owls are not in the big city. They're usually out in the woods away from people. But there are some encounters that are definitely not an owl. And this one that I'm about to read to you from Rosemont, Illinois, is one of them. Now, this is the first one, that I received from my listener who is a UFO/cryptid investigator in the Illinois, Indiana, Michigan area. This investigator emailed me and said, "Tom, love the show, love the paranormal. I think you're a very intelligent man when it comes to the paranormal." Thank you. He said, "I'm going to attach two encounters that I really think you should look into. A while back, you had a couple shows revolving around the quote-unquote Batman of Chicago. Well, it seems like it's back because these are pretty recent. I've done some investigating on these, and I'd like to tell you my findings." So this first one, the encounter happened October 19th of 2019 at approximately 10 o'clock in the evening. This person remains nameless, which is fine by me. But they state, "We were staying at the Edward Hotel in Rosemont, Illinois, for a wedding we were attending that was being held at the hotel. During the reception and dance, I stepped outside to smoke a cigarette and get away from all the noise for a few minutes. I took a walk toward the parking lot, smoking and checking my phone, when I heard a loud scream. It sounded like a woman screaming, so I looked up in the direction where the scream was coming from, hoping it really wasn't a woman in danger. Next to the parking lot is a large field with some trees, but mostly it's a large vacant lot. I used my cell phone's flashlight to light the way and saw nothing except darkness. I walked over to the gravel path between the parking lot and the field towards where my car was parked. That's when I heard something like wings flapping and something flew right over top of me, about maybe 7 to 10 feet above me. I could have easily thrown a rock and hit it as it flew over and away. The thing, it was at least 6 feet tall and solid black with large wings. It looked like a giant-sized bat as it flew over top of me. It was all black and kind of stuck out against the lights of the parking lot and the lights from around the area from the gas station across the street. Three other people saw it as well, including a couple who were walking across the parking lot as I heard them exclaiming about it. It flew towards the expressway and the BP gas station. At this whole time, it was screeching loud and flapping its wings hard like it was trying to gain height. When I lost sight of it, it was about the height of the billboard across the street, still shrieking away. Now, I had been drinking during the wedding and was a little buzzed when I walked outside, but I was as sober as a judge about seeing this thing. It was unnatural, and it was pretty much the scariest thing I have ever seen. But I know for a fact that I saw it, and those other people saw it too. Now, this investigator sent me his notes, and he wrote his synopsis. He said, "I spoke to the witness over the phone this past weekend. The witness states that he and his girlfriend were attending a mutual friend's wedding reception when he decided to step outside and smoke a cigarette. He stated when he first heard the screaming, it sounded almost like a woman in distress, which made him look around to see if anyone needed help. He stated that as he walked along the gravel path smoking and looking around, that is when he heard the sound of flapping. The witness said it sounded like when geese flap their wings, only louder and deeper. It was then that he saw the entity fly over his head at a height of about 7 feet above his head. He said the creature was solid black, but it still reflected light from the street lamps in the parking lot and the surrounding area. He stated that it looked like a giant bat, stated that there was no other way to describe what it looked like. When asked if he saw any red eyes or other distinguishing features, the witness stated he did not. The witness states that he was moving too fast for him to pick out any features other than the general description he gave. He did state that there were at least three other witnesses who saw the entity when it overflew the parking lot, but he did not talk to them. The witness did state that he had been drinking alcohol during the reception, but he was not impaired in any way, and that he would not have misidentified anything else that might have been in the area. The witness stated that he has heard geese, and the sound the entity was making was completely different than the honking made by geese. I asked him to please describe the sound, and he said it was a cross between a woman screaming and an animal growling. When asked what kind of animal, he stated it sounded like a mountain lion. The witness did say that the creature did gain altitude very quickly, and when it faded out of sight, it was over the nearby expressway and about the height of a billboard it had passed. The entity was still making screeching noises and could still be heard as it went out of sight. When asked about flight characteristics, the witness did add that the creature had two short legs that it kept straight behind him, or it, as he was in flight, therefore making it look like a bat in flight. When asked what he did after the sighting, he said he went back inside and told his girlfriend, who dismissed it as seeing a crane or other large bird. They rejoined the reception, and the rest of the night was uneventful. When asked if he had tried to take a video or a picture, the witness said that he was in shock and that he did not even reach for his phone. So that is a recent encounter. That is a pretty close encounter with a possible bat-like entity. It has pretty good descriptions of the entity, although fairly vague, but in the heat of the moment and seeing that it was a very quick encounter, I can honestly understand how the witness could not pick up any distinguishing features. Looking at the report and looking at the investigator's notes, I shot an email back to my contact, and I said, this looks really good. My only issue, and I don't get this issue. Let me rephrase that. When I look at these type of things, I have been an investigator. I've been a ghost hunter. I've been a cryptid hunter. I have been a UFO hunter. And I've done numerous investigations. So I know how to look for these things. I know how to look at the reports. I know what to look for and look for discrepancies in the report. And to be honest with you, the original report that was sent to the investigator and the report from the investigator after he received a report were pretty similar. I mean, the locations, what he did prior to the sighting, what he did after the sighting, they pretty much matched up. The one thing that stuck out for me was in his initial report, and when I say his, I mean the witness. In the witness's initial report, he said he took out his phone to turn the flashlight on. In the report that the investigator had, the witness states he didn't have time to think about getting out his phone. Now, to me, that's kind of a red flag. To some, it may be, you know, it's just a how he worded it. But I know when I have my phone out. I have my phone out. I have the flashlight on. The flashlight on these phones is blinding. So I know when my phone is out. And I know if somebody asked me, did you get a video or did you get a picture of it? Me personally, if I had witnessed this and I had an investigator saying this is just me personally, my response would be, I didn't even think about it. I had my phone in my hand. The flashlight was on, but it just happened so quick. My response, if I had my phone out with the flashlight on, would not have been, I never even thought of getting my phone out, because I would have known that my phone was already out. So that throws up a little itty-bitty red flag, but in my opinion, this is a pretty credible sighting. I would have really, really, really wished to get corroborating sightings from those three other witnesses that witnessed this. Myself, and this is another red flag, if I just witnessed something, a creature that I've never seen before that is not supposed to exist, and I have three people over there that I know have just seen it because according to the report they were exclaiming about it, I definitely would have gone over there and simply asked, what was that? Brought up a conversation about it with them to know that what they saw is what I saw. The fact that he didn't do that, again, a little red flag. So take it for what you will. That is the first one that was sent to me. The second one from the investigator is a little more recent. It's a little shorter, but it's a little more recent. This is at O'Hare International Airport. So this isn't off at the beaten path. This is in one of the most populated areas and most busy areas in the country. It happened Tuesday, November 26, 2019, at approximately 6:30 p.m. And again, it's at O'Hare International Airport. The encounter, it starts like this. I was at the airport picking up a load at Nippon, which is a cargo area. I was already backed into a dock and was standing away from the truck smoking a cigarette while they loaded my truck. I was looking towards the runways in the direction of the tunnel, and that is when I noticed something that looked like a large bird standing just outside of the fence by the parking lot. It was not hard to miss because two street lamps were nearby. It looked like a person with wings that were stretched out and flapping. It was walking away from the fence towards the open field and then began to flap its wings and disappear. And the sighting is over. That's it. This trucker saw a person-looking bird walking away from the field, or the fence, flapping its wings. So, I was perplexed when I read this one, because I'm like, well, I mean, that really doesn't give me much to go on there, so-and-so, which is the investigator. So I went and I read the notes that he had. And he said, I spoke with the witness via telephone. It was able to get a little more information regarding this sighting. The witness primarily speaks Spanish, but was able to report this sighting with the help of his daughter and her boyfriend. The witness was standing away from his truck as it was being loaded smoking a cigarette when he said he caught movement out of the corner of his eye. He said that the beam was standing near the parking lot and was illuminated by two street lamps. The witness stated that the creature was about 7 feet tall, using the fence as a point of reference. When I asked him how he was able to be so certain as to the height of the beam, the driver stated that he had been to this location multiple times and he estimates the fence to be about 8 feet high. Using the fence, he was certain that the bean was at least 7 feet tall. When I asked him how large the wings were, he said at least 6 feet across and black. When I asked him to describe the bean, he said it walked like a demon or a goblin and was solid black. The witness said he saw nothing that looked like eyes, and he assumed that the creature might have had his back turned to him. He stated that it walked with a gait like a bird and that it was flapping its wings as it walked towards the large field that was by the runways and disappeared into the night. The witness did state that when it disappeared, he quickly did the sign of the cross and asked the Virgin Mary for protection. He put out his cigarette and quickly walked back to his truck. When asked why he did that, he stated that he felt a presence that was evil and was convinced that he had seen a demon. When asked to elaborate on this statement, the witness refused to talk about it anymore for fear of it coming back. I respected his wishes and went on to ask other questions about the time, conditions, and if there were any other potential witnesses to his sighting. He stated that there were others at the same facility, but many of them were either inside the facility itself or in their trucks. When asked if he had seen something similar before, the witness stated that he had once before when he was a teenager back home in Mexico. The witness stated that he saw a solid black-winged creature that was circling an open field that he and other children were playing soccer in. He stated it circled the field and made a loud screeching noise before flying off into the surrounding forest. When I asked him if he remembered the date of the sighting, he said he did not remember the exact date, but a week later there was a large earthquake in Mexico City. Now, for the record, the magnitude 8.0 earthquake that hit Mexico City was on September 19, 1985. According to the investigator, the witness seemed sincere, albeit scared, that he had seen something demonic and evil. It is my opinion that the witness is telling the truth. An investigator will be dispatched to do field observation, and any info will be posted to you as it becomes available. Tom, I hope you enjoy these sightings. I hope you use them on your show to bring more proof that there is something flying in the skies of Indiana and Illinois. Those are pretty good sightings. I mean, three of the four, maybe two of the four, have really legitimate claims of being something real. There are two of them that I think one of them might be a hoax, one of them might be a misidentification. But, I mean, all it takes is one. One person to genuinely see a Batman or Mothman or demon, whatever you want to call it, that makes it real. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sightings of a Chicago, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan Batman. We don't know what it is. Are they all hoaxes? Are they all misidentifications? You can ask the same thing about UFOs. And again, I'll tell you the same thing. All it takes is one. Out of the thousands and hundreds of thousands of UFO sightings that have been recorded, all it takes is one. One UFO to be not of human origin to have a phenomenon that is unexplained. And the same thing holds true for the Batman of Chicago. Let me know what you think. What did you think of these sightings? Did you like the fact that I had an investigative report following that? It gives it, to me, a little bit more clarity, gives it a little bit more substance. So you're not just hearing my point of view, you're hearing another investigator's point of view. Let me know if you want to hear more of that on the show when I do these sightings. So, what is the Chicago Batman, the Chicago Mothman, the Chicago Demon? What is it? It's not just in Chicago anymore. It's all over Illinois. There are reports of Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Utah, Texas. It's everywhere now. Are people misidentifying the same creature, describing the same creature, and misidentifying the same creature? It seems unlikely. Are there people out there looking for their 15 minutes of fame? yes, that seems very likely that there are some reports of people looking for their 15 minutes of fame. But I truly believe there's something of substance to these reports. I truly believe there's something out there. Is it an interdimensional being, a parallel universe being, creature? Is it demonic? Is it something that we haven't cataloged yet, that we have no idea that exists? I think that, out of the three I just gave you, is the farthest fetched. I believe personally, in my opinion, that it is an ultra-dimensional, interdimensional, parallel universe, whatever you want to call it. It's a being from another dimension that has somehow got into our dimension, our universe, and is scaring the living daylights out of people. So let me know what you think. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. All right, when we come back, I'm going to tell you about a new legislation in Washington State that starts in the spring of 2021 that may scare, bother, disgust, enlighten. It all depends on how you take this, but it's pretty, in my opinion, pretty disturbing. I don't like it. We'll get into it, and I'll give you my pros and cons of it. It's leave it to Washington to come up with this. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will be right back.
I used to snap my fingers three times and you would be there. Now the snapping goes unnoticed like you just don't care. Tell me if the love is gone and I'll be on my way. Don't play with my emotions or just take those things you say. We used to talk and laugh and kiss and now that's gone away. Left for just another one who also wants to play. You give him all your time and space while I just get to stare. I used to be your only one, but now you just don't care. I love you, baby.
They're coming back for year three. The Michigan UFO Contact 3 is Friday, September 11th and Saturday, September 12th, 2020 at the Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. The third annual UFO Contact is in the works. The excitement is beginning as the plans are starting to fall in place. Listen to this show for further announcements on the worldwide phenomenon that is the Michigan UFO Contact. Hey everybody, this is Tom Velasquez, the host of The Paranormal Patriot, which can be heard every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up. Are you intrigued by the paranormal? Do conspiracies excite you? Do you like to talk about ghosts, UFOs, or cryptids, or just politics in general? If so, my show, The Paranormal Patriot, is for you. Tune in every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up.
Of a ways to exist, feel a delay for a minute, then my mind starts to drift. Dream shift, understanding expands, products of an ego morph, a circumstance, a chance to escape. Everyday banality, brutality that permeates the everyday mentality. How can it be achieved when it's ever evolving and around what you possess? Is it ever evolving?
Okay, this final segment here, I really don't know how to take it. When I first heard it, I'm like, how wrong is that? The more I read it, the more I think it's not as bad as I thought, but I'm still going to let you hear it. I want to know your opinion. I'm 50-50 on this. Part of me says, it's not a bad idea. And part of me says, what in the world are they thinking? This is respecting those that have passed. It's desecrating the human body. Now, I looked at a couple articles and just kind of gelled them all together and made one article. And I'm going to read it. It's, you know, I copied and pasted different parts onto an article and printed it. So this is how it came out. So I'm just going to read the article and I'm going to talk to you about it. In April 2019, Washington became the first U.S. state to legalize the composting of human bodies.
That's when I first read that. I'm like, oh my God, are you kidding me? So it goes on. As a result of this new legislation, the world's first ever composting site, Recompose, will open its doors in spring 2021 in Seattle's Soto neighborhood. Now, plans for the facility are drawn by Olson Kundig Architects in collaboration with Katrina Spade, who is the founder and CEO of Recompose. They were released, and it looks nothing like a traditional funeral home, and that's because it is not a traditional funeral home. It is an 18,500-square-foot facility. It is a light-filled open-space dome, essentially. Greenery is abundant in this 18,500-square-foot facility. The difference is this greenery, it can be moved around. The odd part of this facility is that there are what looks to be honeycomb-like spaces, and that's where the bodies are stored for decomposition. Now, all the vessels are stacked, and again, it looks like a beehive, and then you have a gathering place that is meant for ceremonies. Now, obviously, I picked these articles up from left-leaning periodicals and publications because all of them said the same thing. And it trust me, I'm sure it's true, but it says human composting is believed to be significantly more environmentally friendly than traditional methods of burial or cremation. Recompose's patent-pending method involves placing bodies in one of the moisture and temperature-controlled vessels, or part of the beehive, filled with wood chips, alfalfa, and straw. In just 30 days of microbial activity, the body breaks down into soil. Recompose's human composting consumes just 1/8 of the energy required for cremation. Now, according to all these sites, the human composting process generally generates around a cubic yard of soil from the human body. Mourners can choose to keep the resulting soil, or Recompose can use it to help reforest land in southern Washington. So, when I first started reading these articles, I thought they're just placing bodies just anywhere just to be part of the environment. Well, this is a facility. Now, some of us, or most of us, have seen now that you can use your ashes in your body, your decomposed body, to be a tree, because apparently they plant a tree in your remains, which I guess could be kind of cool. I don't know what to think of this anymore. I really don't. I don't know if it is desecrating the human body, if it is honoring the human body. When I first started reading this and started hearing about it, I was disgusted. I was mortified. Honestly, my first thought is, what are the liberals in Washington doing now? But the more I think about it, and it kind of scares me because I'm sounding more and more like a liberal, it doesn't sound like a bad idea. The pictures of this place don't look horrifying. It looks, in a way, futuristic. You have trees that have their own area, but these trees can be moved around, so it's a different experience every time. And you have these tube-looking things that are, it's almost like a white lights inside of them, and they glow. And inside of it is your loved one that has passed, and they're decomposing. And in 30 days, they decompose, and they leave a cubic yard of soil, which sounds a little odd to me, but I'm not a scientist, so I'll go with that. But what do you do? I mean, is it any different than being buried? I don't know. I'd like to know how much this costs as opposed to a funeral, because if it's a much cheaper alternative, and it's, I don't know. I thought it was an interesting story because it's completely different from anything we have heard. And again, I keep saying it, but I just don't know how to feel about it. The more I talk about it, the more I think it's not that bad. What's the difference between you being buried in a coffin 6 feet underground or you being in a beehive type thing and being decomposed and being used as soil? The end result is the same, right? What do they do with the bones? Where do those go? There's no mention of that in the article. What do they do? Burn them up? Well, then all the environmental aspects of this just go out the window at that point. Do you grind them up? What do you do with the remains of the bones? I never got an answer from any of the articles on this, so I don't know. If anybody knows any more about this, be sure to contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, that's ghostseeker4@charter.net. And let me know, does this disgust you? Does this mortify you? Does this make you say, hey, that's a good idea? I need some answers here because I literally am 50-50 on this and I just don't know how to feel. Part of me thinks it'd be really cool. Part of me thinks there is no way I would let anybody do that to me. Then again, we've been doing it for thousands and thousands of years, burying our dead, and what happens when we bury them? The only difference is we don't give the soil that is left behind to the loved ones or just throw it in the forest and say, here, grow more trees. I guess we're progressing as a human race or regressing. You let me know. So that'll be the show today. I hope you enjoyed the encounters of the Mothman, Batman, Demon Man, whatever you want to call them. And again, let me know what you think about the investigator notes at the end. I think, again, it gives you a little bit more substance because you're getting somebody's ideas and somebody's thoughts other than mine. And as I mentioned in the second advertisement this week, the show is going to expand. The show is going great. We are gaining new listeners every single week, and I want to expand it, and I want to get this show really involved with my listeners more. I've said it more, but I'm going to really focus on it. If you have a paranormal encounter, if you have a supernatural experience, or you have a conspiracy, or there's something you think the listeners of this show would like to hear, let me know and we'll talk, and your voice will be on the Paranormal Patriot. I already have one I'm going to line up. We've heard her name before, Seneca. Seneca and Matt are very pro Second Amendment, and of course, being a conservative type talk show, I'm going to discuss gun rights and Second Amendment with them. And I'm going to try to be partial, but, you know, we know how that goes. So let me know what you think. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Let me know what you think. Contact me with any experiences. Contact me if you want to be an integral part of this show. And when I say integral, I mean your voice is on this show. And we'll go from there. So we're going to go a minute short on this. We're going to let Coming Right Up Radio Network have some advertising space. So thank you for listening this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Contact me, ghostseeker4@charter.net. My name is Tom Velasquez. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. I will talk to you next week.